Welcome to A Handful of Hope, where we bring you heart-to-heart conversations with heart-centered people. Hey, hello everyone. This is Jesse Brisenline again with another edition of A Handful of Hope. Today, I am happy and grateful to have Misty joining us today. Misty is a manifesting coach, owner of My Epiphany Coaching, and not only works with her clients on building a life they desire, she also hosts a daily YouTube broadcast where she helps to inspire more and more people to live a positive and abundant life using the tools that the Law of Attraction teachings have given us, such as visualization, affirmations, gratitude, asking, believing, and receiving. Today, she is here to talk to us about finding joy and gratitude in the smallest things. Misty, good to see you.
Hey, Jesse, it's good to see you.
Yeah, it's been a while now.
I saw you in October at your event, and I am so grateful for that. That was not a small thing to be grateful for. It was a ginormous thing to be grateful for, and it was a wonderful event that you hosted, and I'm sure that this event is going to be equally as wonderful in the work that you're doing now.
Yeah, it was so fun having you there. That was such a special group that went through that in October.
It was a very special group of people, and I'm grateful for each and every one of the people that I'm still in contact with from that group that I met out there in Santa Barbara, California.
That's awesome. So awesome. Misty, so this idea of finding joy and gratitude in the smallest things, I think I absolutely love this. I'm a huge fan of this. And I think now more than ever, at least in the time of history I've been consciously aware of, this could not be a more important strategy and skill set to develop.
Absolutely.
Yeah, why don't you start with just kind of an overview of it? What is it finding joy and gratitude in the smallest things? What is that to you?
So years and many years ago, I read a book from Al.
It's me.
Sorry.
You're going to be okay.
I know. It was Hal Elrod, and it was called This Morning Routine. And so in that book, one of the things that I learned to do was, before I even set my feet on the floor, just to be thankful that I woke up, that the roof was still over my head. And I was going through a divorce at the time, and it just seemed like the whole world was crashing down on me. And that was one of the books that I read, and learning how to be grateful and learning how to meditate and spend each morning in a schedule, in a routine, and do these steps, as many as I could. And some days I could only do one step, and it was just to say thank you when I set my feet on the floor. And then other days I could do all seven steps. And so over the last 7 or 8 years, I've cultivated that gratitude practice into something that is every moment thinking. And that is another book that I read from Eckhart Tolle in The Power of Now. And it was being present in every moment. And when you sit in your breathing and you're present in that moment and you're grateful for your coffee, or I'm grateful for this conversation that we're having right now. And I know I said it earlier, like, it's crazy that I say that I'm grateful for this virus, because I feel like it's impacting us as a planet in a way that we are all equal right now. And we have an opportunity that's never been given to us, that whether you're rich and poor, what color you are, it just doesn't matter. Which God you pray to, we are all in the same boat. And I'm so grateful for that. And I hope that other people can learn to be grateful and open their eyes to the opportunity as well.
Misty, with so much, you know, a lot of people will say, well, that's easy to say, you know, you have your vision board, you have all those things going on for you, you seem really happy, upbeat, but you don't know what it's like to walk in my shoes. You don't know what it's like in my life. So the person who might be skeptic to that, you know, where would you tell them to start, maybe to develop, start to, because I think gratitude, finding the good, finding the joy, they're almost like muscles too, right? So we don't go to the gym once and we look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Correct. It's a daily practice.
Yeah. So where might those people start? Somebody who's, because I think too, when people push back and they might be skeptical, it's because a part of them has a curiosity, but then there's an old story of resistance. So that pushing back right now with this, they're saying, well, you know, I don't necessarily buy into that. My job, you know, I'm worried about my job, worried about the economy. I don't know if I'll be able to pay my rent. I don't know how I'm going to be able to pay my bills. I feel like they're, you know, people are buying up all the supplies. There's nothing I can get at the store. There is people lining up at the stores acting like it's the apocalypse coming. Mm-hmm. Where would that person begin in cultivating a mindset of finding good in any situation and finding joy and gratitude?
It's a choice. And I know that that sounds so cliche, that happiness is a choice. And I'm going to flash back to when I was a child and my grandmother taught mind control. And so I do have a long history and a background, but I've been on the roller coaster of life too. And I've lost a lot of things, been through divorces. I've been depressed. I've been sad. And it is a conscious choice to make the effort to be happy. And her trick to us when we were small children was she would send us to a room in her house that she designated the cry room. And you had time. You went in there and you cried and you could throw a temper tantrum. You just couldn't do it and ruin everybody else's good time. Mm-hmm. And so for as long as it took, until you cried yourself to sleep, and then you woke up and you'd come out and you'd say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to be happy. And we called her Happy because she said that all the time. You have to be happy, happy, happy when you come to my house. And so I think that that's what I would say. Lay yourself down on the bed, throw your temper tantrum, cry your eyes out, and then get up and take a couple of deep breaths and make a list immediately of what you can be grateful for right now. You know, I do not have the amount of toilet paper that everybody else has stockpiled, but I'm not worried about it either. I know that I have always been able to manifest those small things, especially small things, into my life. And when I ask for it, I need toilet paper, I am going to be ready to receive it. And I'm going to believe that it's on its way. And I did say that out loud last night. I was like, we only have XYZ of toilet paper and there's three of us in this house. And so we need to all work on manifesting toilet paper. And not one person, but two people called me right after I said that and said, hey, I know that you have, you've always been a great friend to me. I want to make sure that you have whatever you need. And if you need toilet paper or you need this, I just want you to know that we have it. And I was like, oh my gosh, it works. It really does work. And it surprises me even still today, even with everything that I've been able to manifest into my life. But I had a bad day. I've had two bad days. Not a bad day. Sorry. It's not a bad day. I had a bad few minutes. My older son came over to visit me and he had to stand 6 to 10 feet away from me. He doesn't live in my home anymore. And I was taken back by that because I wanted to run out and hug him. You know, I was so happy to see him and I wanted to hug him. And when I saw him, we had a wonderful conversation. I left some supplies outside for him that he needed. And then he left and I came in and I was upset and I did cry for a few minutes. And I was so sad because I thought I've never in my life imagined a time that I wouldn't be able to hug my own children. And he did tell me that someone that he works with has a family member that's infected. And I know that person. And it is the first person that we know that has the virus. And so I was sad about that. And I did cry for a few minutes. And then I said, I'm going to do something for myself. And I think that that's really important that people are taking time to do things to refill their cup right now. I said, I'm not cooking dinner tonight. I cook dinner every single night. And a grown up in my house took over and said, no problem. We had frozen pizza. Not what I had planned, but I was happy that he took the initiative to do that. I took a bath. I had a glass of wine. I came out and I was a new person because I don't only have to be happy for myself right now. I also have to be happy for all the people in my household and try to keep spirits uplifted because it's like a domino effect, you know? Yeah. And they always say that if mom's not happy, nobody's happy.
There's something there I want to circle back on because I think it's really important. But first I'd be disappointed myself if I didn't make this comment. One of my friends, I checked in on him and said, hey, how are you doing, you know, with everything? Are you okay? We'll have to get together for dinner after all this. He wrote me back and said, I'm the new rich. I have plenty of toilet paper. What a crazy world we're in where toilet paper is the new currency. But the thing I want to circle back around to is you said something there. And I think it's worth exploring a little bit more. You said, do something for myself. And for you, that was take a bath, have a glass of wine, kind of relax. And, you know, I would argue that I think many people, one of the things that they struggle with finding the good, finding the joy, finding gratitude, is that they don't really know what makes them happy.
Right.
They rely so much on external stuff. So I'll watch sports. I will, I'll be able to physically touch a loved one.
Right.
I'll come home and I'll have a TV, a phone, I'll get likes on social media, whatnot. Well, now all of a sudden we have this massive disruption in routines, right? we're having those things removed where people literally aren't able to hug and hold loved ones. Yes. And we're not able to go and get those happy hits, if you will, from the sources we normally would. Sports is gone. You know, we can't go to the movies. We can't go out to eat. We can't go to bars, socialize, all those types of things, which leaves us with really ourselves and the people we may share four walls with. So to the person who may not really know what it is that would bring them joy, what it would be that when they felt that moment like you would, that you did, and you knew what to do after you cried it out, where would they start in that discovery of it? Where would they start looking? How might they uncover that for themselves?
Well, the first thing that I would say right now is that we need to stop saying that I can't do all of these things, because they aren't available to us anymore. But the word can't, I cannot, means kind of like a negative connotation. And I remember a very good friend of mine, my trainer at the gym one day, I said, I have to do this. And, you know, or whatever, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to work out. And she said, no, you don't have to work out. You get to work out. Mm. So, you know what? You don't have to stay home right now, but the consequences might not be a good thing. We get to stay home. And so many of us get to be in an environment that we worked so hard for in the first place, and we never had time to enjoy it. Yeah. And now you have all this time to enjoy this life that you created, and you get to redecorate your bathroom if you want to. Like, you get to do so many things right now that you couldn't do because you didn't have time. And, you know, I am a coach as well as you. And when I'm talking to people about making a vision board or finding time to meditate, the number one thing that people told me was, is I don't have time for that. I don't have 10 minutes in the morning to meditate. I don't have, you know, time to sit there and cut out pictures out of a magazine, but I want this new car now, or whatever it was. Well, now they have the time. We all have this amazing yes. gift of time right now. So I would say, You can go to the movies, turn your living room into a movie theater. We did, you know, cook yourself some popcorn and turn yourself into whatever it is that you're missing out on. If you're missing out with a night with your friends, look at this amazing thing that we have right here. We're talking to each other face to face. I'm in New Orleans, you're in California. Have a dance party at your house and turn on your camera and have all your friends over through whatever device it is that you use. We have a friend that's throwing herself a virtual birthday party, and I cannot wait to go. Yeah, I'm so excited.
So freaking cool.
What a great idea.
Just for everybody knows, a mutual friend of mine and Misty's is throwing a virtual birthday party for herself on Sunday. And she says everyone can be invited.
She said invite everybody.
And I think it's such a brilliant thing to do, because everybody from wherever they are in the world can join in and just spend some time. And it's kind of a come as you are. She's predicating on wear your pajamas, bring a game, bring a book to read, whatever it is, no expectations, and then just show up and have community. There was something you said about you have the time now. And I think that's so powerful of a frame to look in, because I think the worst thing anybody can do right now is do nothing during this time.
I think so too.
Right, hide in bed, you know, sleep in late, stay up late, not get out of your pajamas. It's one thing if you're doing some functioning stuff in pajamas, but if your pajamas right. are inhibiting your ability to perform, then get out of the pajamas. And I think that it would be, you know, I love the idea of a vision board. As I'm looking at your vision board behind you, and the thought occurred to me, like, what would it be like if everybody took this time to make a vision board? Mm-hmm. Because it might be a way for them to identify what it is they want. They could go on the internet, they could search for stuff they like, whether it's cars, travel, whatever that is, right. and start cutting some of those things out and just putting it out and creating that. If somebody was so inspired or so compelled to make a vision board for themselves during this time, how might they begin that process?
You know, the most important thing that you can do for yourself when you're making a vision board is to, like you said earlier, how do I figure out what I want? And I think that they need to spend a few minutes with themselves and really search deep, because I guarantee that a lot of the things that people thought that they wanted in their New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year, just 3 months ago, have completely shifted right now. So spending a little bit of time to figure out exactly what you want, finding a picture that represents that. And then you also have to be in the right mindset when you are starting to visualize these things in your life. And so having a party, making yourself a bath, getting yourself in the right mindset, cutting something out when you're sad and sticking it up and having that negative thought or that negative energy yeah. is not going to help that come into your life. And so finding a place to learn to be happier and making that choice every day, that's where I would tell people to start right now. And it doesn't have to be a vision board like this. I mean, I love to travel. I went on 13 trips in less than a year last year. I think it was actually even more than that. I haven't even had time to total them. I was in New York 4 times between November and January. So, that's awesome. And all of those trips came to me and I was thrilled to go on them. And they're on my vision board or they're on paper, but I was in the right mindset to be ready to receive them. And I think that right now is a great time for people to start to do the work on themselves to get themselves ready to do that and just learning how to be happy. And I love what you said about don't stay in your bed. Don't do anything. Don't just lay around and do nothing. I mean, there's so many things to do. My greatest advice that I'm giving all my clients right now is to set that schedule. Make sure you're using your iPhone or your calendar. Don't find yourself aimlessly scrolling. Like if yeah. I have to go on any social media, it's usually for work, like to reconnect with you, make sure our time was good, post my videos from my YouTube channel to my Facebook and my Instagram. If I find myself scrolling, I set a timer. Like I'll just say, hey Siri, set a timer for 15 minutes. And I'll give myself that 15 minutes to look at the funniest memes about all this stuff that are going on right now. I don't read anything sad. I really was never a news watcher, but I know that I need to be informed right now. So I set a timer for myself to watch 1 30-minute news program because I feel like that's enough for me to learn mm-hmm. what I need to know and take care of my family. And then we shut that off and watch something else and do something else and just set a schedule.
I love that. I think that the opportunity to gain clarity on what we want is so powerful, right? I think so much of our discomfort or dissatisfaction or stress and frustration comes over a fear and obsession over what we don't want. Mm-hmm. And it starts to seem like the cup is overflowing with that.
Negativity.
And when we put in context with what we do want, we start to direct our focus there, right? We can't figure out our problems if we're focusing on problems.
Right.
We have to shift our focus to solutions to figure out how to solve our problems. And I think right now, many people, part of the fear and anxiety, and it's certainly for me, when I have my moments, it comes up because I'm out of solution oriented and into worst case scenario problem. And it feels like such a locked away place. And I love like how you have your vision board displayed and what you're talking to people about that, because what it does is, you know, if we have that negative reference, like you said, it just reinforces and it puts you back in that disempowered lower state. But if we can do things like that, and even if it's not a vision board, but just cutting out some articles, pictures you want, yeah. quotes you like, those memes that you were talking about, print those up and put them on the wall or make up the background on your phone, because it helps you, it helps us start to, again, develop those muscles in your mind to look for the good, even in the perceived bad situations, because it's always there. You know, there's always something there, right? If we're willing to dig deep enough and look for it.
Yes. And it's, I mean, really and truly, that's the basis of manifesting in the first place, whether you're using a vision board or you're trying to call in the one, you know, a relationship or anything. Stop worrying about what you don't have. You cannot come from a place of lack. You cannot come from a place of, you know, like you're saying, the opposite of a solution. You have to get yourself in the right mindset to call into what you want. So I am not saying, I hope we don't get sick. I am saying we are not going to get sick. We are very well prepared. We are together here as a family. We are a united front. We are all pitching in. We are a team. God bless you, Jesse. So that's the, I am affirming to myself every day that we will stay well instead of saying, I hope we don't get sick.
I like that. So it's almost like taking the opposite of what might be the concerns, the fears, and looking at what's on the other side of that. So the other side
That's exactly.
The other side of lack is abundance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's powerful for people. So consider this, like if you find yourself stressed, worried, and fear, look at what's on the other side of that.
Yes, flip the coin.
What you want, right?
Yep. I train a lot of the clients that we've dealt with, and we call it flipping the switch. years ago, I did a video with my girlfriend Jill, and she was saying what a horrible thing it was to do homework. And I think a lot of parents right now are going to be able to relate to this, because we're homeschooling our kids, for crying out loud. So she would say, you know, like, you have to do your spelling words, you have to do your spelling words, you have to do your spelling words. And then her daughter would get like more than half of the spelling words wrong. And then she flipped the switch and she took a new approach, and she would, instead of putting an X by the words that her daughter got wrong, she would put a heart by it. And she said, these need more love. Well, instantly that changed the whole dynamic of how they did homework. You know, then now she's singing a song, you know, like, oh, these need more love. She was excited about it. And so if you can learn, and when you, something is not going right or the way that you want it to evaluate what it is and then turn it around, things are going to start to change at a rapid rate.
That's powerful. What switches do you need to flip? You know, that's a powerful question for everybody to ask themselves. Yeah. What switches do you need to flip? And where can you, what needs a little bit more love right now?
What needs more love? And sometimes it's you. Like I said, I have had a couple of things that have happened that were sad. And I mean, and I am a happy person, and I find joy in the smallest of things. And I go outside in your yard, like change your environment too. And not to just, you know, to bring more positive energy into your life. Moving out of the room and moving stuff around in the room, it creates the flow of energy to shift, and it really does work. I have an entire butterfly garden going right now outside, and there's thousands of little caterpillars growing on, crawling all over everything. And anytime I feel like I'm overwhelmed, I go outside and I'm very careful to walk through my grass and take deep breaths and move slow and look for these little critters, because they are bringing me so much joy right now.
That's awesome. To join the little things. I think, yeah, you get to nature. It's incredible, right?
Yes.
Missy, three questions to finish up here. People are at home. Many of them are at home or in self-isolation, quarantine, lockdown, shelter in place, whatever the terminology is. And they have time that they haven't had before. If you could recommend one podcast they listen to, what would that podcast be?
So I am currently listening to someone that we've had on our channel, and that is Viewpoint with Father John. He's out there in California with you. And I found him on YouTube, which is where I find most of the information, but he is also on iHeartRadio, and he does a show every single Thursday.
Okay. And book you'd recommend people read?
I am still listening to over and over again to try to learn as much as I can about present moment learning and present moment thinking. And so I would say The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle.
And movie or documentary you'd recommend people watch?
I am a nerd, and all I watch is documentaries. I have an entire documentary channel on my TV, and I am going to say that I have watched your TED Talk on my television over and over and over again. So, and I think that your TED Talk, Jesse, is actually perfect for what people are dealing with right now. And I know that that was talking about grief, about losing a loved one, but a lot of people are grieving right now. And how you talk about, you know, being, living your life for the people that have gone, I think it's the same situation. And so I would say your TED Talk.
Oh, thanks, Missy. I appreciate that. I've been meaning to talk a little bit.
No, about you didn't know. Jesse did not ask me to plug that.
No, she didn't. That was totally unprepared. That was awesome. Thank you.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, Missy, this was incredible. So everyone, I encourage you to rewatch this and really, really consider that. I love that concept of what switch do you need to flip, because all of us have an opportunity to flip a switch right now. And whether that's a switch in our relationship, our health, how we approach our lives and our jobs, our careers, whatever that is, right now there's a switch that you can flip that will help improve your situation. The worst thing we can do is nothing and sit around and wait for the people in suits over and wherever to try to figure all these things out. At the end of the day, it's you, and it's your neighbor, and it's your neighbor's neighbor, neighbor, and it's all of us shoulder to shoulder. And Missy said, we're all in this together. And if all of us come together collectively and start flipping those little switches and make those little small changes, get clear on what we want instead of what we don't, remove our can'ts and start saying can, it could be extremely powerful for how we move forward through this, how you move forward in your life as an individual, and how we move forward with our lives collectively as the human race. And I think that Missy shared so much wisdom, so much, you know, great places. You know, I love the caterpillar moment of looking for joy in those little moments. And this has been so helpful, so valuable. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Appreciate you and look forward to having you on again sometime in the future.
Thank you so much for listening. If you're finding value in these conversations, please rate and review on Apple, Google, Stitcher, or wherever your favorite place is to listen to podcasts.